Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey, everybody. I'm Kim Holderness.
And I'm Penn Holderness. Welcome, super welcome to the Holderness Family Podcast. We're coming to you...
Not live.
Not live.
We're not live.
But just so you know what's going on with us, it is Hurricane Ian has blown over us a couple of days after it has blown over Kim's hometown in Florida. There's just a lot of sticks and weird acorns in our front yard, but a lot of people without power around us.
Yeah. So we obviously are very fortunate and we're in North Carolina, so it wasn't going to be terrible. But there are a lot of communities along our coast that are flooded and obviously are... Hearts are breaking just watching what's happening in Florida right now, especially along Southwest Florida. Family is doing fine at the time we're recording this. Like, most still don't have power, but again, they all feel really lucky right now.
Yeah. Kim and I have been through this in a lot of different ways. We've been through it as news reporters. We've been through it as coastal residents. I think Kim spending most of her time in Sarasota and Bradenton, and then all of her news time in different Florida cities kind of coming up. We've both been intimately involved with hurricanes and have seen firsthand the horror. This one was especially terrifying for the people on the west coast of Florida.
Yeah, and it's pretty devastating. We had a scary couple of days trying to find... My mom used to live in Pine Island, which actually is the area that took the brunt of it, and trying to find some of her friends. We were pretty confident that they were fine. There was just a communication issue, but it took us, you know, 72 hours before we got word that they were safe.
That was scary, though.
Yeah, it was some scary times. But anyway, we're better today. We're knowing we got word last night that they were safe, and so we're better today. So I hope you are too, those listening. So today's episode, I promise it's not going to be a downer. I had this blog project, okay? And it was kind of self-assigned. I love a project. I love a goal. Something about me, I just kind of need a goal. I said I was going to blog every day in the month of September, and I love an assignment. So I was going to focus on things that would like help improve my mental health. And I did it, you guys. I blogged every day. I put a blog out every day. And it was all about actions I could take, little differences, tweaks I could make in my life to just, you know, so it would work better. You know, my life would. And some things really did help. And some things totally helped, but I'm having a tough time kind of like putting those into action. So I thought I'd be like just really honest with the things I tried and the things I failed.
And I do love the positivity in this because I'm looking at your list and what's working is one list. And the other ones that you might say don't work, you're calling a work in progress.
A work in progress.
And I love that. You know me, I love the positivity when it comes to these things.
Right.
First of all, congratulations on writing about your mental health for 30 straight days. That... without being redundant, I would say. Like, I do think that these were all, you had good variety when you wrote about them. I am also going to be actively listening to make sure, because I during the blog, I wasn't sure what was and what wasn't working. So as your support system, I'd love to know what I can do to assist here.
You're very kind. I would say one of the things that works that sounds a little trite and it sounds a little borderline toxic positivity when I say this.
Wait, toxic positivity?
You know what toxic positivity is, right?
No.
There was this
tell me.
Trend, and maybe it's still there, which is just like, hustle harder. You got this. Keep going.
That's not positivity. That's motivation.
Yeah, but there's a little bit of like, they're going to spit polish people that will just spit polish anything to make it look so good. They're not going to be real about stuff that just isn't working. And it becomes, I use the term when people are so sunshiny and they're not willing to see another side.
I think I understand that. Okay, so you're saying that positivity that forsakes honesty.
Yes. Okay. It's a better words. Yes, you're using better words. My coffee hasn't kicked in yet. I started leaning in and just making positive declarations at like the beginning of my day. And I would say out loud, like, today's going to be a great day. And I would, if it was very specific, I'm like, I'm going to come up with a lot of creative ideas for this meeting. I'm going to handle this. There's a lot of meetings today and there's a lot on me, but it's going to be great. And I'm gonna have a lot of fun. And just those little mindset tweaks really did reshape how, when like the ish hit the fan, because it always does, I was like, it's great. And I could kind of see the positive in it. And yeah, it helped.
Can I say, I have not heard you say any of these
because
things.
Because I literally say this stuff out loud when I wake up.
Yeah.
And you were so I'm still asleep. The world. So I could
I think
have
that's awesome though. Yeah. I think now I'm glad you warned me, because if I heard you talking to yourself in front of a mirror without the context, I wouldn't have a problem with it, but that would be interesting.
Right.
So that worked. What was the thing you said the most that you feel like, was it work-based? Was it specifics, or was it more of a generalization? Like, it's going to be a great day. What did you use the most?
In the morning, I'm like, today's going to be a great day. Yeah. And it was very generalized statements. But then if I could remember, because I don't always remember, if there was a task I needed to do, like we kind of come up with ideas for videos or something where I feel I'm getting a little stressed out. I'm like, it's okay. I'm going to come up with some really creative ideas today. I'm going to, we're going to shoot all the stuff we need to shoot. Like I was very positive about it, and it just... There was a mindset. It was a very Jedi mind trick. Not every day was great. Not every day was great.
Sure.
There was some negative things that creeped in, but it didn't seem as bad. And I am actually, people would be shocked to know this. In our relationship, I think I am more optimistic in moments than you are.
Okay.
You are happier in general. Your internal setting is to... You're a little more fun and happy, but I think in certain situations I am more positive.
Sure.
But this was like, took it to a new level. Does that make sense?
It does. And I agree, like, there is no such thing as a relationship where one person is always the more optimistic. It's not sustainable.
Right.
For the person who's optimistic, for their brain. Mm-hmm. Like, and honestly, like, for me, I am probably optimistic 99% of the time. The problem is the 1% that I'm not, it can get really bad.
Well, here's, for example, a situation we just had. Mm-hmm. We were trying to find a storage solution for all of Penn's shoes. And
we're going to get into this.
No, but you installed it in a place where I was like, I think it would be better if we just slid it down a little bit. And you're like, well, this won't fit. And it won't fit if I do this. And it won't fit if I do this. And so I'm like, what if we just let's step back and let's move some things around. So like, I can be more optimistic. I'm like, we're going to make it work.
Okay.
And then yours is more situational. Like, we're never going to get this done. And then we do it.
Okay. So I will say yes. And, optimistically, I liked the first place where it was,
but because we would run into it.
Ah, so that sounds like something that you were having a problem with.
Oh, you had to me problem that we would like hit our hip bones every time we walked out of the garage.
Let's just take this back. Like, I'm going to start with, I love you, honey. I love you so much. But we have had a shoe situation.
None of my shoes.
There were several of your shoes.
No.
There were two pairs of boots And there was
your daughter's.
And there was a pair of Croc slippers.
I had one pair of Crocs. There was boots of your daughter's.
So some of your shoes.
One pair of Crocs.
The issue is that the shoe collector that we had is about 3 inches wide. I have huge feet. So every time I try to put my shoes in, they fall over.
It was not sustainable.
So Kim says, what can you, like, I am empowering you, Penn, to figure this out. So I found these pegs on Etsy that you can put flat against the wall. Mm-hmm. They accept all types of shoes. I'm going to admit that I am the type of, and by the way, when I ordered the pegs, you were pessimistic that they were going to work.
No.
You said you weren't sure if they were going to
I said if the pegs are long enough, this is what it, but right. I was imagining these like 2-inch, like a hat type of pegs.
Right. And they were longer. Yeah. They were good. And so she was empowering me. So I'm like, oh, this is going to be my thing. I'm going to do this. I woke up this morning without prompting while she was on a walk. I'm like, she's going to get back. And this entire thing is going to be done. And it was. I had them on the wall. Mm-hmm. I was very excited. Mm-hmm. And the first thing that came out of her mouth was, are you sure that's the right place to put those? For me, it was. I am tall. I don't like leaning over for shoes. I don't like other things being in my way. I'm a person who hits, you know, the dinner, like the dining room tables, they have these really low lying lights that the designers are like, well, no human being will hit that. I just have a crazy long torso. So every time I bend over, like I've been impaled by those like spiky lights. And so I was trying to find like a really good spot to put it. And this was the perfect spot for me. It was not the perfect spot for Kim because Kim would run into them while walking in and out of the door.
Well, if you were to say like carry a bag of dog food into the house, you would run into a line of shoes.
So it appeared to have solved my problem, but created a problem for my wife, which I don't want. But it did, like, I think I was about to start flooding because I was like, this is my expression. This is my chance to do my, I was actually being very positive. Mm-hmm. And then when I was told, okay, you've done all this, but you've done it incorrectly, then I think I flooded into pessimism. And I said, I overcorrected. And I said, I do this actually a lot. Oh, this is going to take 3 days for me to move this around. Or like, oh, great. Like now I'm just going to have to start over again. Yeah. I really do that. And I hear myself doing it. I'm like, you sound like your bleeping dad. Because my dad is the king of passive aggressive overcorrections. I've heard of like, okay, fine, Mary. Aww. Let's buy a new house. Like when she...
Because I was like, if I could walk our listeners through, so you would walk out our garage door and there's like 3 steps and it would have been like immediately exit.
But it solved my problem.
I know, but if you carried literally, and there's like a cabinet on the left, so it's like you can't.
Yeah, but there's problems on the other side too. We keep all of our green screens and stuff like behind the thing, so I was trying to keep it away from there. It's not about the nail. There were nails.
This is why we need the home ed. Right. We need the enjoyment.
I do think, like, I downshifted. I was aware that I was haywooding.
His dad's name is Haywood.
Which is a term that I use. And I backed out, and it looks great now. And I think we both looked at it, and we're okay. Mm. But there was the need for some positivity there on your end, and you provided it.
We will be right back. Don't go anywhere.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more.
and is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
There are moments. So we each deal with stress in different ways. I think we had, for example, we had a big work day recently, and I was like, we can do this. We got this. And when you get very stressed, sometimes it was like, this is going to take 3 hours. So there's like that reaction. What I say to you in those moments are like, okay, if that happens, we'll adjust, whatever. What would be helpful for me to say when you get into those flooding moments?
You're haywitting.
But if you called me like my parents' name.
You and I are different people. I love my dad. I have inherited some of his DNA on this.
Okay.
And I want to be like him in a lot of ways, but I want to be not like him in other ways.
Okay.
And I'm actively aware of that.
Okay.
You can tell me I'm haywitting.
Okay.
But so how do I tell you, like, honey, I just did a lot of work on this and like. Okay.
Say, and by the way, had you done a lot of work? You'd hung up one and it was like two.
I made several pre-cut measurements. Like, I don't know if you know this about me. I'm very deliberate and mathematical about where I put things.
Yeah.
And I was convinced that this was the best solution. And I'd spent some time thinking about it.
Mm, okay. So you could say that. We could have had that conversation.
Yeah.
Okay.
Like, because you literally walked in and said, oh, I'm going to run into that. The first thing you said.
You appeared,
what almost triggered me, and I was wrong. It looked like you were filming me while saying this.
Yeah. No, I was texting our son had sleepover, so I was texting
him. I'm sorry. It did look
like
you're filming.
He's like, don't put this on camera. I'm like, oh my God, I'm not putting this. This is, could you imagine that's the least sexy content.
Well,
like,
I mean, we have put this stuff on camera before. Like, when you see me doing.
It is pretty hot when you have a drill out. And I'm like, yeah, it's pretty hot.
Yeah.
Anyway.
We are on number one and have gotten into a dispute, but it was a fun dispute.
It's fun.
Are we going to do this for all of these?
Sure. Okay. So keeping things positive, just making positive declarations, it sounds so cheesy. And keep in mind, it goes against the practical part of my brain, but it definitely helped. Okay. Ditching two things a day. So listen to this. Okay. But why are you laughing?
I'm not.
You're laughing.
No, I'm not.
You are.
We could turn this into a fight too, probably.
So, okay.
I'm not going to because I love the ditching part.
So I've learned I'm a bit of a perfectionist. And so there are times when I look at our junk drawer or look at something, I'm like, oh, I can't deal with that right now because I'm not going to have time to make it perfect.
Yeah.
So instead, early in the month, I decided to just take two things, while I'm blow drying my hair, I've gone through a lot of my toiletries and stuff that have expired or something like that. And I've cleared out two things a day. And then last weekend, it actually ended up with me cleaning up my closet because it was a rainy weekend. And I did way more. But when my surroundings are clear and organized, my brain just works better. And it just it just feels so much freer and lighter so that it seems less overwhelming to get rid of just two things a day. And I don't want everything just to end up in the landfill. So if I was in my closet, I could be like, hey, Lola, do you have any need for this shirt? And she's like, no. And then I'll text a friend. I'm like, do you want this shirt? So I found homes for a lot of places where I haven't just like been throwing away or donating, you know, at random. You're smiling.
I love this.
And it gives me like a little boost, like a little sense of accomplishment.
The last sentence you wrote here, clearing my physical space helps me keep the space between my ears clear too, I think is like, that's it.
Yeah.
That's it. Yeah. I have no retort. I'm going to move on.
But you're smiling like you want to say something.
No.
Say it. Well, do it.
I would say, I'm not accusing you of this. I think this is a great idea in general when you're not ditching it with the knowledge that you're going to buy something else to replace it.
I hear what you're saying. Yes. I do in general have a rule if I bring something into my closet that I have to move something out. So you're saying, but there's a lot of stuff like our, like my toiletries and even in the garage, like I'm getting stuff and mm-hmm. I'm not replacing there.
Awesome.
Yeah. But yeah. You're saying clothes. I replace a lot of clothes.
But that was a general statement to anyone who's listening.
I do replace a
lot including of myself. I, you know what? I've realized that I have not thrown out enough of my shoes. I keep my shoes forever.
Yeah.
I found a pair of shoes today that I used for a dance competition in 2008.
He was in Dancing with the Stars.
No. Dancing Like the Stars. They do not have that trademark. And it was
like a local.
It was
fundraiser.
No. It was like and the host is Clay Aikens, mother's friend. Like, it was this like crazy like thing. But I had fun.
I remember I was pregnant with PC because I went to the final performance and I was about to vomit. You did great, didn't you win?
I don't believe that we won, but maybe I don't think they had a winner. I can't remember. I know that it was like
it was one of those like I hope both teams have fun. It was a fundraiser.
The coach that did it with me wanted to do like straight up ballroom, and I'm like, I need to be breakdancing at some point
you
during
did
this.
Breakdance.
And so I did.
Dancing
I'm a horrible partner.
Like the stars. Yeah. Okay, the next thing, I ditched the guilt about what I thought self care was. So there's a lot of this self care, just like toxic positivity. It's like, go get a manicure, go get a massage, and that'll make you feel better. But that stuff actually doesn't make me feel better. Something about if I'm on vacation, I love a massage, but just like piecing out in the middle of the day to get a massage, like I can't, there's too much stuff to do.
It's not your kind of self-care.
It's not. Even I got a manicure last week for the first time in 2022, maybe. No, I got one in March for the Amazing Race thing. And I feel like I'm being, I don't know, like you can't move or do anything. I kind of feel trapped.
Then you shouldn't be doing it.
So I don't love getting a manicure or pedicure, but I enjoy the results of it.
Yeah.
But it's a very stressful experience for me.
And for massages, aren't they just never going, like you like it, your massage is rough.
I want an elbow into my shoulder blade.
Yeah.
And I'm like, and they're playing the music. I was like, listen, okay, let's have a talk. Okay, I'm going to need you to get an elbow, need you to get in there. And it's not therapeutic at all.
This is, I try to give her massages and I have very strong hands, but I don't know, I don't want to harm you. Yeah. So it's like kind of like the flaccid Heimlich that I gave your friend.
We
don't have to tell it.
No, okay, we're going to
tell
it.
You
want to
tell that story?
Okay.
All right, we're about, guys, this reset. You're about to hear the story of
the most flaccid Heimlich you've
the
ever.
Flaccid Heimlich, which meant well.
You were only okay. We have it. We
should we call Michelle for this?
No. Okay, so we went to the beach for the weekend with some dear friends, and we made steak. And our sweet friend Michelle is the most polite.
If you're a super listener of the podcast, she's the one I threw in front of a snake about 6 years ago. Because I'm afraid of snakes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So who's just like kind, sweet, you know. And so we're, you know, laughing at dinner, laugh. Kids are there. Everything's great. And then she stands up in the middle of the table and just walks to the sink. She was very politely choking.
Yeah.
So a piece of.
So we look back at her. And it's like.
And we're like, what are you doing? And she like is very calmly motioning that she cannot breathe.
Right.
So her husband. Sits there. I grab a glass of water, go to the water filter.
I'm gonna have to jump in here. Chris is sitting there. I jump up to try to help her. I've never done a Heimlich before. Kim goes, I'm gonna get you some water,
thinking that that would help.
But the best part of it is she went to the filtered dispenser inside the refrigerator.
It's like you could spit and fill a cup faster than this filtered water thing.
And I think I yelled, Kim, that she doesn't need filtered water.
I was like digging a well, practically. But then Penn was the only one. He stood up and he got behind her and he was like pumping at her stomach. He was like giving her I thought the Heimlich would
I remember
look like-
how, like, I remember my lessons on a Heimlich. It's a hand and another hand over that hand to strengthen it. It's just below the rib cage and under the diaphragm to push the diaphragm up into the rib cage.
Yeah.
So the motion, I felt very confident about. It is a little weird because you're, like, really close to, like, some boobs and butt when you're doing that with someone who you don't really know that well.
You know her well, but not like that.
But they're right. They're choking, but I'm like, I'm getting in here. So she's bent over the and I've got my hands and I'm but like I just don't.
He was being very gentle, and like it's precious about it.
It's possible that I eased it up a little bit because she did get better, but what I really wanted was just for a piece of steak to go flying across the room at 600 miles an hour. And so we get done. She's
so,
okay.
So she waves him off. She was like, I'm good, and can talk. And it was scary. We were all like kind of shaking a little bit because, I mean, we're not.
We were worried.
Scary. Like, we're all shaky. Breathe. And she. So, but it never comes like flying out, and then in the moments, like we kind of all settle, everybody's fine,
and Chris,
her husband,
becomes the MC here,
he's like,
"Are you okay, hon?" I can do his voice, but you okay, hon? Yeah, I'm fine, thanks, hon. How was that? How was that Heimlich that Ben gave you? Huh? He said it exactly like that. And she was like, it was very sweet of you to do that because, Chris, you just sat there, but you could have gone a little harder.
It's like, if I could give a note.
You could.
If I so
I know now.
Back.
I know now, but I felt like I was really giving it to her, and apparently it was not enough. And so all the double entendres kind of kicked in. We're all laughing.
God.
And then I deflected with, well,
dude, I was on my doing then. Kim is at the well, digging a well, trying to get a cup of water. But we learned that Penn in a crisis is going to try to help. I am going to get you a cocktail.
But you're going to make sure.
But I'm going to make sure
it's the best quality water that you can
quality
get.
Water.
You wouldn't want her to get bacteria.
Yeah, correct.
If she's
after that vulnerable kind of, you know.
So yeah. Bottom line, I need to be a little rougher with my contact with women, I guess.
No, just specifically when performing
Heimlichs and while giving you a massage.
Yes.
Yeah, I got it.
So anyway,
that was a detour.
Okay. I learned self-care for me is like not answering my phone and watching 8 hours of Gilmore Girls with my daughter. That's and I would prefer to just not answer my phone and watch a Netflix marathon, then get a massage and a manicure. And that's self-care. And
yeah. Also way more affordable.
I do love on a vacation.
Oh, yeah.
So if I'm on a vacation and there's nothing else to be done, I do love a spa day.
So because you can sit still.
Right.
Which means
like,
anywhere,
what else am I going
to
do?
Anywhere else you are, you're unable to turn your brain and body off for that long.
Right. And so I think it probably says something about me that I need to find little ways to do that. But I find it's hard for me to do that. Next, daily-ish meditations.
Like
so
that.
When I do meditate, the day goes better. I feel like I work efficiently. The day just lines up better. I haven't done it every single day, though.
Would you like to, or do you think day-ish is good enough?
I would like to.
Okay.
I would like to, but it goes down to something it requires me to wake up earlier. And I was pretty good about waking up early, but then like the storm hit and I was watching storm coverage late. So, I slept till 6:30 the next morning. So I was off my schedule. It just requires me to just wake up a little earlier. And I just don't always do it. Or find a way to like, because I feel like once we're up and we work from home and sometimes there's people here and like it's hard for me to be like, hey guys, I'm just going to go meditate in my room for 10 minutes.
Right.
So.
Well, we would always support you
on that.
But I did, you wrote this out as a list and it did give me pause when you said daily-ish because it made me think, what if it is okay for you not to have to do it every single day? Because making a point to do it and having to do it every day, does that stress you out even more? Or is it better that you can just do it whenever you feel like it?
That's a good question. I don't know.
Okay.
I don't know. I think that's why I'm kind of a work in progress here. I'm trying to figure it out. But I will say, we did that meditation podcast episode, the stuff she taught. I use the Calm app. I use this other app that just has more just like sound therapy stuff that's helpful. And my day does go better when I do it. And I do feel like I'm working more efficiently. So it's a good use of time.
Yeah.
There's that. The last one that I think that really is, I've challenged myself to get out of my comfort zone more. Like even in small ways, I usually do the same run route. So I've been running new routes. I went to the ballet last weekend, y'all, made some new friends. I've just been trying to find ways. Like, we're going out, we're taking a friend out to dinner tonight. We're going to a restaurant we haven't been to. So,
you okay with that restaurant?
Yeah, I'm excited about
it. Good. It's like, it's kind of, it's not like super trendy, but the food looks amazing.
But I can be such a creature of habit.
Yeah.
And
that was my thought.
I have to challenge. Sometimes it's a challenge for me to kind of get out of that. And I'm always so much happier when I do.
Yeah. You know, this one of the five that you mentioned is the most unique. I think it's also the most ADHD.
Right. And I think that I've acquired the ADHD to where, I mean, I think I crave something new, but there's also part of me that feels safer when I'm on my couch, but I'm 1000% happier when I've tried something new.
Yeah. It's different from the other four.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm going back and looking at them, making it positive that, I mean, you know, daily affirmations, we've been seeing that since Stuart Smalley.
I actually referenced that in the original blog post. Like,
I'm good enough. I'm strong enough.
Gosh darn it.
The cleaning, decluttering your life. We've heard that. That's Marie Kondo. That makes good sense. Ditching the guilt about self-care, 100%. That's been something you've been saying. The meditation everyone talks about. Like, the comfort zone, I love that it's not the normal list. And I think you're 100% right. And if it works for you, I wonder if it wouldn't work for others where it doesn't seem like the reasonable, rational thing to do.
And
you know what I mean?
I know there's something. We have a friend that went through some anxiety kind of therapy, and there's something called exposure therapy, because I know this works for me, is that if I am anxious about something in particular, it just takes me doing it.
Yeah.
And then I'm fine, right? And so, because your anxiety is being nervous about something in the future, and so if you can do it and repeat it, then you're fine. But I would say that's the reason why I think very romantically about our empty nest years, because I'm like, oh, we can just like get up and go. Whereas right now, I love our life, but just how our life is set up right now, we're kind of locked into a schedule.
We're in our heavy duty puberty, pubescent, like child transformation years, and we're also in the middle of our earning years. It's like those two things are both pretty stressful,
right?
And but I do love this. I think you wrote an entire article about the most difficult part about doing the Amazing Race was starting. And that's a giant example of these tiny little things that you're talking about here.
Yeah. By the way, season 34 of The Amazing Race is airing, and I'm very oddly jealous because they're getting a whole season uninterrupted.
That I'm jealous of.
And the locations look beautiful.
That I'm not jealous of.
We got some beautiful
cookies. I looked at the race map, and they're doing the same thing that we did. If you look at it, they are keeping in low transmission mostly European countries. They have one voyage outside of Europe. They have the same travel situation.
I know.
I do love all of that. I would love to have met all of the people in this season.
I would have loved to meet all the people. I do. Obviously, our cast has become our family. So I can't imagine doing this.
Yeah.
But anyway, but it's been fun to watch.
I also like that there's no non-elimination legs. They had no choice in our show but to make some non-elim legs, but yeah,
right. Anyway. I know it is frustrating as a racer to have like survived a leg and then you have the same number of people you have to beat the next time. It's frustrating.
So check that out. Also check out, they have new cameras. They finally switched to SLRs. As a producer, I love their new cameras. They look amazing.
Bruno messaged when you were on Instagram stories. He's like, does Penn know what he's talking about? I was like, yes, Penn knows what he's talking about. He was messing with you.
Okay,
these are the things that are like a work in progress that helped when I put them into practice, but I'll just be real honest that I'm kind of sucking at putting into practice consistently. Sticking with the morning routine, I think that was something that I was starting to wake up at 5:30, and I would get a little workout in, I would journal, I would meditate, I was just, my day went so much better when I did it. But the slightest little hiccup of anything the night before, and I'm out the next morning. And I'm like, are you kidding me? I'm not going to wake up at 5:30, and I would just hit snooze until 6:30. So
the problem's in the night before.
The problem's the night before. And you can't, just where we, for example, Lola would have a tennis match that would go till 8:30, and then I'm making dinner at 8:30, and we're, you know, just the natural rhythm of the evening. I'm not getting to bed till like 11 or so, and that's just not enough sleep for me personally. Navigating time alone was another thing that's a work in progress. I took a whole 24 hours alone. I went to the beach by myself, and then the kids and Penn joined me. Penn, could not make a decision for myself. I could not make a decision. I was like, where do I want to go to dinner? So I drove, and I wanted to go out to dinner.
We need to unpack that a little bit.
So the blog post I wrote about this, so I wrote a whole post about this. When I was 27, I went to France by myself for like three-ish weeks.
And for some reason, everyone was so nice to you. As a hot 27-year-old, I had gone to France like 5 years before. I'm like, they were like, hold on, they were a-holes to me. I was like a 19-year-old, and I knew French.
I didn't know French. I was speaking Spanish to them, and they were like, oh, you're so cute.
Yeah, you're a hot...
No.
Like, hot 27-year-old woman with French in your blood.
I know. I was like, they could tell I was part French.
For some reason, everyone was so nice to me.
But I had the best time. I spent an entire day at the Louvre. And then the next day, just like, I survived off like bread and cheese and just like went. I had the best time. And I never felt stressed about what I was going to do. I just figured it out. But then 24 hours alone, I think I've become so accustomed to what other people in my life need. Like, okay, what are you craving for dinner? What's your schedule? Then when it was my own schedule, I didn't know how to make a decision. And that's not good. So...
That sounds like something that you need to practice.
Yeah. So it's just a practice thing, or even knowing, not that I need to be alone more, but if, you know, with our own family, like, what do you want? Like yesterday I did it. I don't know if you noticed that. You're like, I want sushi. And the storm was coming in. I was like, well, I bought chicken, so I'm going to make the chicken tortilla soup. And so I was like, I'm making this. And I just did it.
It was so good.
And it was so good.
I think that was a good example of you doing that. I would say that on the balance, you were very aware that you don't make decisions very well. And you ask openly, like, I don't want to decide here. I want you to do this.
Right.
And I don't want to, I'm happy to do that for you. Anytime that you ask me to, but I do think that's probably a muscle that you haven't flexed enough over the last decade or so because of the circumstances around your life.
Well, I think because as a mom, you're making these little tiny decisions every single day about things that need to happen to keep a house running that it's decision fatigue.
Exactly.
And so when it comes to something as small as like, where are we going to go to dinner on a Friday night, or where are we going to go on vacation? I'm like, I don't know, just do it for me because I'm done making those 10,000 decisions.
Yes, Anne, you are having fatigue on those decisions. The muscle of making your own decisions, you have to want to do that, right?
I do, absolutely, but I've forgotten how to have an opinion about little things. And I'm working on it.
Well, people respect your opinions. It's about just saying,
absolutely,
this is what I want.
And nobody here is, in my house or in my life, is steamrolling me. Everybody is so supportive. So it's not one of those situations where I get no say in what's happening. I have just surrendered.
Yeah.
Very willingly, those kind of things that seem so inconsequential, but it got to a point where I drove one direction all the way to a restaurant. I'm like, no, I don't want pizza. And I turned around and went completely the other direction. I'm like, do I want this? I'm like, I don't know if I even want this. Like, I couldn't figure it out.
Do you know what I do that helps me with that? Because sometimes I get decision fatigue as well. And it's actually my favorite thing to do now. When I go to a restaurant, I just say, what do you think?
Oh, I love that.
I just say, like, do you want to just course out this meal for us?
Yeah. No, I love that. Away. But it was like what I was craving. So I'm like, do I want sushi or do I want seafood or do I like?
But if you don't know.
But if I don't know.
Just let them do it.
I know, but I didn't even know what type of restaurant.
You didn't know where to go.
Didn't know where to go.
And the funny part is there were only like three restaurants in this beach place.
Correct.
Yeah.
There weren't a lot of options. That's why I struggle at like Trader Joe's. Because there are so many options. I don't want that many options.
Right. You said that about Kroger, too. It's too big.
Wegmans.
Okay, Wegmans. Is that why? Okay, there's some things coming into focus here. Like you discovered during, remember you discovered during COVID because Wegmans, like you couldn't get in there, or maybe it was open, it was too busy. Like you had
Instacart.
You had the Instacart thing do it.
Yeah.
And that they kind of helped make those decisions
so
for you.
So it's
well,
so funny.
Nice.
I love the options at Wegmans. I personally can't. It's so big.
Yeah.
Because I did go in looking for eggs and I got lost trying to find eggs.
Oh my
and
gosh.
I'm like, I can't do this.
Yeah.
So if I do Instacart, I'll do Wegmans because I do love all their options, but I don't want to actually
see them. I got it.
I love to look at them online instead of having to look at a wall.
It's the wall.
Well, no, there's like a wall of salad dressing. I'm like, oh my God, isn't it the kind I like? You know, where is it? Yeah. And that's why I love Costco, but I need to know exactly what I'm getting from Costco because I could get lost like in the decisions that need
Costco's
to be.
A lot even for me.
Yeah.
I also just can't find stuff.
You know where it's so funny?
I have a blind spot.
On the Amazing Race, our issue, we could navigate and find anything. You and I don't find things well.
You're right.
We don't. I mean, I can find things.
We can plan on how to get from one place to the other.
But if it's we don't find things well.
I've passed that gene on to my son.
Oh my God. But no.
He can be staring directly at something and not know that it's there.
Boy.
Okay. So you're saying you want to work more on sticking with a morning routine. You want to work more on navigating time alone and being able to make that real, true you time.
Yeah. And then the last thing that I really suck at, and I don't know how to get better at it, is putting down my phone. We've talked a lot about it. I think that the phone and the sense of community of social media is real and I enjoy it. And I enjoy reading people's messages and I enjoy like replying to comments and the whole thing. And so that's the good side of it. The bad side of it is it just becomes the thing I grab. It's like that little dopamine hit. It's like those little dings and buzzers that I depend on way too much. So I don't know what it looks like to exist with the phone less. And I also feel like my daughter especially, she does have access to her phone during the day at school and she does text us from school. And this is my brain, but we live in a world where bad stuff can happen at school. When my kids are at school, I don't want to put my phone down because I want to hear from them if something terrible would happen. I know that's like really morbid and pessimistic, but I want to be available. So I don't know when I put my phone down.
I believe that this is the one for both of us where we're going to have to take deliberate action if we want to solve that problem.
Mm-hmm.
You also have to ask yourself what would happen if you didn't have your phone during these situations. Can I give you like a recent example? And I'm actually genuinely curious about this, but your mother was in crisis, and as a result, you were in crisis because you guys couldn't find your mother's dearest friend
mm-hmm.
who was on Pine Island. And for that reason, your mother and yourself were completely tethered to that phone for 2 days, and for good reason. I'm remembering this time when we didn't have phones when crisis happened, and it probably was even more stressful, or was it? That's what I'm trying to figure out.
Right. No, and it was one of those situations where I wasn't helping. But I did know, and you heard me say, I'm like, I think she's fine.
Right.
It's just there's no communication.
Nothing that you did bothered me mm-hmm. or put me out. Like, I understood why you were doing it. I didn't feel neglected at all. I'm looking back on it now that the stress is over and saying, was it the best thing that you were checking your phone all the time for?
No, no. Like mental health wise, no. And I think, so here's when I feel safe putting my phone down is when when my two kids and my husband are inside the walls of my house, I will lose my phone inside the house.
Yeah.
And so I've been, you know, I took off my Apple Watch. I don't wear it a lot anymore because the the dings.
I don't wear one for that reason.
Yeah. So the dings became so distracting that I was doing it to like count my steps and stuff like that. I was like, no, the benefits of having the exercise monitor do not, outweigh what it was doing to my mental health. So I did put that down. But if my people are inside my house, I will put my phone down. So that's
most of the time.
Most of the time.
Yeah.
But during the day, it is on me and it is very distracting. And I just need to figure out what that looks like. And I don't know what it is.
Yeah, we both, I think during work hours, especially if we're like shooting, it's you guys, editing and shooting and producing and doing the work that we do is such a linear process that when you break that linear process, it takes a while to get back in line and get going. Mm-hmm. And I'm saying this because I'm guilty of it as well. Like if I stop what I'm doing for just a second and I see something interesting on the internet or something like on an email, I am holding up a process that depends on momentum. Oh, here's what I'm trying to say. I'm in this with you. And I think that I could do better as well.
Okay.
With that.
Well, guys, that was kind of my 30-day experiment as a work in progress. Things that I've put in practice and like little ways into my life that have really helped me. And I hope you enjoyed Penn's story about his flaccid Heimlich.
I'm really worried that's going to be the title
of this podcast.
Yeah.
Penn's flaccid I'm like,
and then, but then, you know how like certain titles, like they're too long for a page. And it just like says dot, dot, dot.
Flaccid.
So it's going to say Penn's flaccid dot, dot, dot. And that's going to be the title of this
clickbait.
Yeah. Well, babe, I just want to say again, I'm so proud of you for taking self inventory the way that you have. I think it's going to make you a more complete person. I'm jealous. I wish I had the discipline to write about myself for 30 days.
It sounds very narcissistic to say about myself. Well, I did
not if you're being vulnerable and being honest and you're being helpful for other people like that.
I just wanted to make sure I wasn't saying like you guys should do this, because the last thing I would ever do is to say like, wow, this worked for me. You have to do it too, because I know what works for me doesn't work for everybody. So that's why I wanted it to be, you know, all about me.
Well, there's probably going to be some months that are going to be all about me coming up, particularly if this book that we're working on is going to make its way to fruition.
Guys, proposals almost done.
Yeah.
So
can't talk about it yet. Love you, babe.
We do have a game. We forgot to talk about that.
Well, let's do it.
Guys, family face off.
Yeah,
we were supposed to do that at the beginning.
It's fine. We like listen.
It's fine.
So this week we're going to talk about it at the end. Next week we're going to make a big ballyhoo about it.
Ballyhoo.
A big hullabaloo about it.
Hullabaloo.
We're going to make a fuss. There's going to be a ruckus.
There's going to be a ruckus.
There may be a wild rumpus.
Oh.
We are going to bring Family Face Off to our podcast listeners. Maybe even in a literal fashion. And we're
trying to think about how to, maybe we can call some people.
Some of you are going to play Family Face Off with us next week. And if you like it, you're going to tell us. And if you don't, we're not going to put it in the show.
Shut up.
We're going to cut that part out until we find someone who likes the show, the game.
Okay, sign up to get more information at theholdernessfamily.com/newsletter. Hey guys, thanks for listening.
Have a great week.
Have a great week.
Or weekend. And if you have time, just review the process on the Heimlich maneuver.
It could save a life. And honestly,
really get in there.
Really. I think famously people will like break a rib.
Yeah.
Doing it properly. So just don't be afraid to break a rib.
Then this would have been the story when I broke a rib and nothing came out.
Correct. There's no winning.
Yeah.
There's no winning.
Okay. I'm hitting stop.
Okay.
Hold up, what was that? Boring, no flavor, that was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. Hello Fresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. Hello Fresh, let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at hellofresh.com.
planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices.
Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. The future isn't scary, not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.